The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Going with a running back on a team with a bad offensive line? Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. Try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome in to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. And that's right, you are seeing this correctly. Me, Field Barry. Him, Matthew Barry. My father, the GOAT of fantasy football, okay at fantasy basketball. We won't get into our magic from last week, but an all-around swell guy. It's just you and I today, Maddie?
It is just you and I. I would like you, we can get into our fantasy basketball matchup because that would mean you'd have to also talk about the standings in our fantasy basketball league.
Sure, whatever. It's early yet.
You had the schedule on your side.
I gave you a nice compliment about you're the GOAT of fantasy football.
I appreciate that. I'm very kind.
When was the last time you and I were on a show together like this?
It's been a long, long time because you and I have, with all due respect, and you know, we like everyone we work with, but you and I have asked multiple times, like, hey, you know, especially when Stefania's off boondoggling, can we do shows by ourselves? And the company said, no. So it's a rare treat. And, you know, obviously we love Mike Clay. We love Stefania Bell. We love all the people in the 06010 family, but sometimes it's fun just for you and I, just two people talking about fantasy football.
We don't get time to hang out just the two of us all that often during the football season, which I think some people probably assume that we don't hang out outside of work. Assume that we do, but during the football season, think about this.
It's rare.
You've got a 5-day a week TV show. You've got five children, including Three that are still at home.
I have five children. My wife has six.
Right. Your wife has six children.
Right.
You know, I travel a couple nights a week.
Yes, you do.
You know, I go home, obviously. It's not like we have these large windows.
You have a wedding to plan.
I've got a wedding to plan.
You're breaking news. We've got stuff. Right. We're busy.
A rare hour alone. It's like,
it's nice. I'm excited.
Yeah. We're empty nesters for a day.
We are indeed. And so, we're excited to see everyone. I want to just take one moment here, and I'm curious how you feel about this, but some sad news yesterday.
Yeah, I think I know where you're going.
The passing of Stan Lee.
I know.
And so our colleague, because Marvel is part of the Disney universe, obviously, and so as are we, ESPN. So our colleague, Stan Lee, passed away at the tender young age at 95.
What a life lived.
The effect he had on so many people's lives, Field, is, I think, immeasurable. I'm a Marvel Cinematic Universe freak. I love superhero movies. I enjoy comic books. I'm not a comic book freak. I'm not like the comic book guy on like The Simpsons or anything like that. But, I'm a huge Stan Lee fan just for the worlds that he created. I put this out on Twitter the other day and I said something like, he created characters that not only, you know, were enjoyed and beloved by millions upon millions of people, but I believe he inspired people through his work to be the best version of themselves.
You know, it's funny you said the word inspired because yesterday I think the initial emotion is obviously sadness, right?
Yeah, of course.
A life well lived. 95 years, I would take 95 personally if I could get to 95.
I would sign up for that today, yep.
But it's sad, you know, he lost his wife a few years ago.
Yes.
69 years of marriage. Yeah. 69 years of being married. And so he lived a full, complete life, and his impact was dramatic and impactful. But then I at some point I turned it from sadness to inspired because he talked about the reach he had on so many people. And whether you're a Marvel junkie or not, first, you're familiar with his work, right? Like,
everyone knows Spider-Man. Everyone knows the X-Men. Everyone knows the Avengers.
Black Panther,
of course. Thor, Iron Man, Hulk, all of them, right.
And the other thing, I learned, and I didn't know this, and obviously what happens in these events, sometimes you find yourself doing research on somebody posthumously.
Yeah.
A lot of his life, a lot of the genius that we are now recognizing him for took place at the age of, I want to say 39 and beyond. I saw a tweet that said like 39 was a pivotal age for him in his life.
Right.
And, you know, I don't feel as though, like, I've slacked through my first 31 years in this life. But still, I've always wondered, like, you know, I want to do things that are lasting, that begin. Like, I want each chapter of my life to bring fulfillment.
And he brought that. Like the second half of his life is where it all took off for him. It's inspiring to me.
No, me as well. And we'll get into fantasy football in a minute. It's a light news day, so we can take a little bit of time here. But we promise we're getting to fantasy football here in a minute.
When is your life going to take off, man?
I'm still waiting.
You got it.
I'm still waiting. Yeah. I will say, though, it's interesting that, you know, you sort of say that because one of the big reasons I wrote a book was specifically for that, because so much of the work that we both do, but I'll speak specifically to myself, so much of the work that I do is disposable, right? I mean, it's enjoyed by a lot of people, and, you know, I'm very grateful to ESPN for the platform they provide me, but, you know, I write a column and it's immediately done,
right?
I mean, you know, we do a podcast and it's like, right, and or, you know, or the TV shows or almost everything I do is fairly disposable, has a shelf life. And so I wanted I wrote the book specifically not to have any fantasy advice because I wanted it to be evergreen. Like the book came out in 2013, but you could pick it up today if you've never read it and it would be, I believe, just as fresh as it was in 2013. But I wanted something that, like, whatever, when I'm long and gone and ESPN's done with me or whatever, that I could at least point to something permanent that I could hold and say, hey, I did this. And so, to your point, listen, I started my fantasy football career at 35. You know, I mean, I've talked about this a lot as well, but just to your point in terms of it's never, you're never too late, never too old to try to, and he didn't change his career or anything like that, but, you know, I would certainly argue the most impactful stuff I've done, at least to this point in my life, has been 35 on.
Right, sure. Including becoming a father, which
yes, is correct.
Know, the most impactful thing that you have done,
100%.
You will ever do. So RIP to Stan Lee, his reach was wide-ranging, and I think we're all, you know, taking a day to be sad, but also to be thankful to have had
and
be a small portion of his consumption base, right?
Yeah.
All the stuff that he produced.
Celebrate his work, and go out, read a comic book, watch a movie, do something fun with your life today.
Rewind.
Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
All right, so Stefania goes out to San Francisco and unfortunately watch our 49ers lose. But it was actually a really entertaining game.
It was.
Game. Great Monday Night Football game that precedes a great Monday Night Football game with the Chiefs and Rams next Monday night at Estadio Azteca in Mexico City. The Giants win 27-23, Matthew, and I'm going to both you and I will pass for right
okay.
now and whether it's a good thing for the Giants to have piled on another win, given that they are trying to position themselves to get a new quarterback this upcoming offseason. But let me just read you the nitty-gritty of some of the things that went down last night. Odell Beckham Jr., 4 catches, 73 yards, 2 touchdowns, 11 targets. Good to see him be Odell Beckham Jr. He is back on track after a, relatively speaking, slow-ish start.
You know, and listen, you'll take the game, obviously, because it was such a good performance by Odell. Could have been even bigger. I mean, he was wide open on that slant at the the end zone there, you know, and just not even covered. And so
he also had a drop in the first play of the game, too.
Right.
So the opportunities were there for Odell. Great game. Here's encouraging news about Saquon Barkley. He produces every single week. And even on a day when the 49ers largely kept him in check by doing a terrific job of tackling, which sounds silly, but like it's fundamental to run
they
defense.
They committed to it.
Yeah.
They committed to stopping Saquon Barkley.
20 of 66 on the ground, 24-66, and then 4 for 33 in the air. So even on a down night for Saquon Barkley, he still gets you 100 total yards and 14 fantasy points.
Yep.
But here's where things get interesting, is two players. Let's start with Evan Ingram, Matthew. 446. A lot of this comes late. And I know that you roster him in the War Room League, amongst other places, perhaps. And are
this
you,
is, this is so brutal. It was so brutal because, so I was, I played the Hasselbecks this week in the War Room League, and they had Sammy Watkins at the, and it's a 16 team league, right? So, you know, and, we have 14. Pickens are slim, and you also have, you know, a lot of teams on the bye. So Pickens are really slim. So the Hasselbecks had Watkins all of a sudden get ruled out. So they had one guy on their bench that they had to just throw into their flex. The only guy that was actually playing, that was active and playing, Eric Ebron.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like, they didn't even want to start him, but they had to because they had no choice. And of course, that was it. 3 touchdowns. I have Marlon Mack on my team. The rushing touchdown that Eric Ebron had gotten, if that had gone to Marlon Mack, just that one play,
would've
I beat them.
Victory.
I beat them, but instead I don't. And so I needed points from Evan Ingram last night to get there to beat them. And it doesn't happen. In another league, I was up, but I was, the guy that I was facing, it was actually the Vampire League. The guy that I'm facing had Ingram. And of course, so he got enough from Ingram to meet me, but I didn't get enough from Ingram to beat the Hasselbeck. So yeah, good times. Didn't seem like he even looked for him. Like there was that one, there was the one route, late. where it would have been like a 40-yard touchdown and Eli underthrew it a little bit.
Sure.
Down the seam, it was just a seam route down the middle. But yeah, I mean, he's not involved in this offense. And let's be honest, Eli has not looked good. Even in a game where he put up fantasy points, where he had 19 fantasy points, he threw 3 touchdowns. He's not a good quarterback.
Well, I think that probably answers my next question somewhat succinctly. Is next week they play the Buccaneers, the gift that keeps on giving, 6 teams on a bye, and there are a lot of non-quarterback starting teams, the Jets, the Bills, the 49ers amongst those on a bye next week. But you're going to have to replace Tom Brady, for example, next week. And would you consider, like, Eli Manning could possibly be on the streaming radar?
Yes. Eli's on the streaming radar, because here's the thing that Eli Manning has that, for example, like Alex Smith did not this past weekend.
Right. Yeah. It's
he has elite talent.
Like, yes, excellent pass catchers to throw.
Like, if you can get it somewhere near Odell Beckham Jr., if you can get it somewhere near Sterling Shepard or Saquon Barkley or Evan Ingram. We're bemoaning Evan Ingram's fantasy production. Evan Ingram's a talented player.
Right. Right. He's a good player.
Right. When you think about it, when you think about all the talent surrounding Eli Manning, it's mind boggling how bad he's been.
Well, now
this year,
maybe it wasn't a good thing for the Giants to win that game yesterday, because they bump up from, I believe, first in the NFL draft order to third.
I was texting with I'm not going to say which team.
Yep.
But I was texting with an executive on one of the two teams last night.
I said,
good luck. And the person texted back and said, thanks. Does that mean you want us to win or you want us to lose? Because, you know, both teams are in
motivation,
that.
Right.
What's their motivation? So, anyway, whatever. That's been beaten to death, the Eli Manning thing. But to answer your question, do I think Eli Manning is a viable streamer in week 11 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home? I do, because of the weapons that they have, because I do believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will put up points against the Giants here. And when you think about 6 teams on a bye and who are some of the viable streaming options.
I think I have 17
options
in my initial quarterback
haven't done my ranks. I do them on Tuesday night, but he will certainly be a top 20 play for me this week.
Good for the 49ers in finding a real running back stud. Matt Breida is awesome. Undrafted rookie last year, 20 total touches, 132 total yards, 2 touchdowns last night. Made me sweat in a league that I was not expecting to sweat a matchup where I had like a 35-point lead or something like that going into Monday Night Football. And Matt Breida made me sweat it a little bit more than I was expecting to. Good player, Matthew. Looked as healthy as he has all season. And beyond that, he has had very little involvement in the passing game of late. Now he has been, last night was good to see him get more involved in the passing game.
It certainly was. He catches a touchdown pass here, gets 4 targets, 3 for 31, to your point, in the passing game. Alfred Morris, no shock.
Yep.
Just not used at all. And obviously Raheem Mostert is out for the year.
Yep.
To me, I think the more interesting question about Breida, who is, you know, just must start. He's now must start. As long as he's healthy, he's must start territory. What becomes of this 49ers backfield next year, when they've got Jerick McKinnon, they've signed him to a big money, but I don't know how you put this genie back in the bottle when you've seen what Matt Breida has done.
You call it a high society problem, and you have Jerick McKinnon and you have Matt Breida, and for a while I would have thought that they would be a natural fit for Le'Veon Bell despite the Jerick McKinnon injury. The Jerick McKinnon injury makes the case for why you'd go after Le'Veon Bell, right?
Sure.
Running backs get hurt a lot.
Yeah.
They have a ton of money to spend, and you can just imagine what Kyle Shanahan would do with a player of Le'Veon Bell's caliber. Before someone says to me, yeah, but Kyle Shanahan constantly finds value at running back with players that are undrafted free agents or 6-round picks like Alfred Morris back in Washington together. They made Jerick McKinnon an $8 million a year running back. So if he likes a player, they're going to go out there and sign him. But yes, I think it's a good problem to have. McKinnon and Breida could be one of the more desirable running back duos into next season.
Could it be a high-end version of Freeman and Coleman back when they were in Atlanta. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see. Honestly, they're going to have some decisions in San Francisco. And look, credit to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and the entire organization there in San Francisco, because they have quietly put together a talented young nucleus. And obviously the season hasn't gone the way they with Garoppolo, but I think they have something in Nick Mullins. And I know the fantasy numbers aren't there, but to the eye test, Nick Mullins can play.
Well, he's a developmental backup, which a lot of teams would kill for right now. Like, the Giants don't have, well, maybe they do in Kyle LaLetta, but we're not certain of that right now, and that's part of the reason why Eli Manning continues to keep his job. I got to be honest with you, somebody who might need to turn to Eli Manning next week in the War Room League.
Yeah,
Like the fact that Eli, and they got that win last night, like selfishly was a good thing because I imagine there's no way you bench Eli Manning following
after
a victory when he throws three touchdown passes.
Like, yes. Desperate fantasy problems.
Desperate times cost for never, desperate measures when you want to figure out whether you need Eli Manning in a week 11 matchup in the War Room League. Again, next Monday, Chiefs and Rams. Who's ready? I am.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah,
George Kittle continues to be,
he's a beast.
He's a fantasy rock star and, I mean, Kittle over Gronk, right? The rest of the season. Like, I mean, who would you rather have than Kittle? Like,
there's only two
Ertz.
There's three guys, Travis Kelce. In a conversation by themselves. Kittle, Ertz, Kelce.
Right.
It's difficult to do rankings every single week, but I'm just telling you, watch the bottom fall out after number three at tight end this week. I promise you.
Yeah.
Let me know your fourth ranked tight end when you get to it tonight. Because it's ugly. I mean, it's not, it's like, do you
Michael Roberts,
like,
maybe? I mean, is he up there?
Or Michael Robinson?
Yeah, it's probably Michael Roberts. It's probably Michael Roberts.
No, but seriously, we poo-pooed Eric Ebron yesterday, but you look at the number four tight end option. It could be Trey Burton. It could be Evan Ingram. It could be Eric Ebron. Like, you have mitigating circumstances for each one, right?
It is ugly. I was going in another league. I had, I was up by like a couple of points. I had Kittle and my opponent had Barkley.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have a chance, but it's a half point PPR league, it's my dynasty league actually. And man, we managed to pull that one out. So thank you, George Kittle.
I'm just going to mention this, not because it has any fantasy relevance. Oh, well, I shouldn't say this. It's not done yet, but Adam Schefter has been reporting a lot on the possibility of next week's game between the Chiefs and Rams in Mexico City either being played elsewhere or perhaps postponed. He just tweeted about this 36 seconds ago.
Wow. Can we get the breaking news drop?
There you go. ESPN Radio. Breaking news.
As he tweeted, discussions continue about whether Monday night's Chiefs-Rams game will be played in Mexico City, L.A., or postponed, per sources. The NFL is determined to play it Monday night in Mexico City, but the field is a, quote, mess and might not be safe for players. It's a significant concern.
Sure.
I mean, and it's funny, like, you would think the NFL would prioritize the health and safety of its players above all else, but it sounds
you
like
would think.
They are determined to play the game in Mexico City. It's a business decision, my friend.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, so it is a business decision on a lot of levels, obviously, not just, you know, with the country of Mexico. And, you know, it's important to the NFL to grow their brand internationally. That's been made clear by a lot of different moves. But obviously, it's a big game for us here at ESPN. We're one of the broadcast partners of the NFL. But then you also think in terms of business decision, like Todd Gurley, Patrick Mahomes, Kareem Hunt, like these are the biggest stars of the NFL. Like, it is good business for the NFL for these guys to be, you don't want anything to happen to any of these players.
Well, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but when he said like it could be postponed, you know, my first thought
sure.
is you postpone it to week 12.
Right.
When they both are on a bye.
Right. Make them have the bye this week. As somebody who's playing against Patrick Mahomes in a couple of weeks, I am on board with this.
All right.
I am on board with this. Yeah. Let's postpone it to week 12. Good idea, Field Yates. Let's get that going because I'm in a league where I need a win and the guy I'm playing has Patrick Mahomes. So no, thank you. Yeah. Postpone it to week 12. I love that idea.
If there's one thing we know, it's that you can never count out the underdog. No matter how big the odds, some people will surprise you. That's one reason why you should check out SimpliSafe Home Security. Today, SimpliSafe's amazing security system is winning all sorts of awards. 10 years ago, SimpliSafe was an underdog. Back then, if you wanted the security system, you had to go through these huge companies. They made you sign expensive long-term contracts with hidden fees and for systems that were completely outdated. That all changed when a young electrical engineer named Chad Lawrence started designing SimpliSafe's first security system in his kitchen. He wanted to get rid of the long-term contracts and hidden fees. He wanted to start a security company that treated people right. Flash forward to today, Wirecutter, PC Mag, and CNET all named SimpliSafe their top choice for home security. And over 2 million people trust this system to keep them safe. Not bad for a security company started in a kitchen. Protect your home with SimpliSafe today and support the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast by ordering your system at simplisafe.com/football. Let them know we sent you. That's simplisafe.com/football. simplisafe.com/football. All right, so we got some news to get to, and we begin with Marvin Jones, and he left Sunday's game for the Lions. It was a knee injury per the team at the time. Adam Schefter reported yesterday he avoided a major ACL or MCL injury. That's good news there, Matthew. He is currently day-to-day.
We're all day-to-day, Field.
Yes, we are,
Matthew. We're all day-to-day. I mean, so, you know, it's look, you hope that he comes back and plays this week. So he avoids major surgery or major injury, but and considered day-to-day. So you would assume that he is going to be active for this week's home game against the Carolina Panthers, which is a good matchup. Carolina's Panther secondary certainly struggled so far this year.
Sure.
So, especially against deep passes, right? So, ideally he's playing, but it's just something to keep an eye on here. You would think that if for some reason he would miss, big Kerryon Johnson game, big Kenny Galladay game.
We don't want to dig too far into the weeds with Lions wide receivers besides Kenny Galladay that you should consider because when Golden Tate went down, or was traded, I should say, Brandon Powell was discussed as a thing. T.J. Jones was discussed as a thing.
Exactly.
Those have not been the players that have picked up the slack. We'll keep an eye on this injury. Stefania will have more when she returns on Thursday.
Oh, is she finally here on Thursday?
If she shows up on Thursday.
Rumors have it that she will be here on Thursday.
Per sources.
Okay. Yeah.
Julian Edelman, the Patriots wide receiver, has what is not believed to be a serious ankle issue, and he may not miss time. That, again, according to Adam Schefter.
Yep.
The Patriots go on a bye this week, Matthew. I don't think that we can, at this point, encourage anybody to roster a non-Josh Gordon wide receiver to replace Julian Edelman.
I agree.
I think that...
I mean, I guess it would be Hogan, you know, but...
Right, in theory, it would be Chris Hogan.
Yeah.
Hard, though, again, you would be adding him on a week when you're probably replacing multiple players with six teams on a bye for the possibility that Edelman might miss a game. Feels like if you're going to make a move on Edelman, be patient here. Wait until next week, and if things are looking hairy as we get closer to the start of week 12, all of a sudden you can reevaluate the situation. Now, Doug Peterson said yesterday what I think he kind of said last week as well, which was that Josh Adams is expected to get more work. You know, last week, though, Matthew, he made this comparison. He said he can be kind of like Jay Ajayi.
Right.
I still look at this as a player who I like the ability of.
Yes.
A player who is a good dynasty stash, but a player who I think needs a lot of things to go right in order for him to be anything more than a deep league consideration at this point. Does your mind change at all after what you saw, or heard, I should say, from Doug Peterson yesterday?
Sort of.
Okay.
I mean, 6'2", if you have Josh Adams or you're considering rostering him tonight in waivers, you like that Peterson's talking him up. You like the fact that his touches seem to continually be going up, that he continues to get more and more of a role. 6'2", 225, like, he's a big guy. And so you would expect that if they run when they're in close, Adams would be the guy to get the ball, impressed in the preseason as well. And we've seen fantasy running backs be productive in Philadelphia. Having said that, we've never seen them be super productive because it's a committee. Doug Peterson's offense is pass first. And then you've got these guys. And so do I think, like, as we rank, would I have Adams over Smallwood or Clement or Sproles when he comes back? Sure, of course. But do I think, like, he's suddenly a top 15 guy? Like, you'd need to see it, and we're running out of time. Like, I don't mind stashing him because, look, it's a good offensive line. It's a good offense. And if he were to get the run, no pun intended,
right,
good things could happen here. So I don't mind. I have him in a couple of leagues, but they're deeper leagues. You know, in terms of, I don't think I have him in any 10-team leagues.
So here's my issue is that you're talking about a player who I would say is comparable in some ways to Adrian Peterson. Minimal pass game value. In order for Josh Adams, I think, to see 15 to 20 carries, it's going to have to be a game in which you feel comfortable the Eagles have a significant lead.
Yep.
And that the Eagles are going to be able to continue to hold that lead. Now, you look at the schedule coming up for Philadelphia. Yes. They go to New Orleans this Sunday. How confident do you feel in them potentially being up against the Saints in ground control football?
I don't.
Right.
I do not. Right.
So the rest of the way here, and like the Giants, perhaps in week 12, the Redskins... Possibly
Redskins have
13,
a good run defense.
But they're a very good run defense. Week 14, we just saw him against the Cowboys. He couldn't get anything going there.
Yeah, Dallas has a good run defense.
And although the Rams in week 15, they do have a porous run defense.
They do.
What if the Rams get out in top 14-0 on the Philadelphia Eagles? Would that surprise you at all? It wouldn't. So, like the player, encouraged by the commentary from the coach. This is always also one of those examples where how the question is pointed to the coach or asked to the coach yep. can dictate what he says, right? If it's unsolicited, hey, guys, we got to get Josh Adams going more, it's one thing. If someone asks, hey, he ran well the other day, what do you think about him?
Do you like Josh Adams? Do you think you need to get him more involved? Yeah, sure. Right. I mean, well, you know, because coach isn't going to say, like, nope, we're good with where we don't want to get him more involved. Like, no, generally speaking, a coach is not going to just completely dump on a player to the media.
Right. He's got fewer receiving yards than Nick Foles this year. Right. So like
that's
it's
a good
just
stat.
Not like there's just
no,
not...
I think everything you're saying is well spoken, but given and well thought out. And I agree with it. The fact is that in the NFL, there's such a dearth of running backs that are usable for fantasy. And so again, more of a deeper league guy than a 10 team league guy. But do I think there's upside there? I do. And so depending on your situation, is he worth a stash? I don't mind stashing him because I do think there's, you know, different things can happen, by the way. Could Clement get banged up? Could Smallwood? Could you see them, you know, wanting to establish the run a little bit more? Sure.
Sure.
Sure. I mean, his best case scenario, we think, is probably as a flex play.
Agreed, in a deeper league only.
Yeah.
Sammy Watkins, we talked about that Monday Night Football game just a minute ago. If it's played on Monday night, we do expect to see Sammy Watkins back in that game.
I have to assume, boy.
I know where you're going with this.
Right.
You want me to guess what you're going to say?
What are you going to say?
That the Chiefs thought about this matchup this past week against the Cardinals and said, you know something, we got the Rams on the other side of this Monday Night Football game. Can we get through Arizona without Sammy Watkins? I bet we can. Let's give him the extra week of rest and see if we can't have him back for week.
Yeah, that's 11. It too. The other thing I was going to say is as I'm just thinking about your scenario here. I have to believe that the game gets, as much as I would love the game to be played in week 12 for my completely selfish and petty fantasy needs, I have to believe that the game one way or the other gets played this week. If for no other reason that, I mean, here at ESPN, and we pay a lot of money to the NFL and we're happy to be partners with the league, but we would be like, guys, come on.
Right.
Monday Night Football. This is our game of the year. And like, so if it got played in week 12, like we have a game on the schedule for week 12. Like, you can't just throw that in at like 1 o'clock or give that to another partner. You know,
who
like,
I'm going to find out who the Monday Night Football game is in week 12 and see if they can just like, yeah, we're going to throw we've got Tennessee at Houston. We're no longer going to play that game. Like, doubleheader. I don't know. Maybe Tuesday night, though. I mean, I'm just, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, anything's possible.
Not
that
week
kind
12,
of stuff.
Week
right.
11.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So, I mean, it'll be interesting, but it obviously it's a story that will be worth following because there have been multiple reports about how bad that field is. I believe it was a Shakira concert. Listen, hips don't lie.
Honestly, I can't speak any ill of Shakira. I don't know.
Crazy Shakira.
The devil.
Absolutely. We love Shakira.
Only the devil could do that.
Make that a Twitter poll, by the way. Hips. Do they lie? They lie, they don't lie.
If we don't have unanimity, I mean, if we don't have unanimity on that
should
then
be 100% to 0%.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Don't lie. Hips don't lie.
Just going to mention two pieces of quarterback news and no actionable necessarily here, but Ryan Fitzpatrick remains a starter in that matchup against the Giants. We talked about this on Monday. Still a top 10 play because of the opportunity, despite the points. The last thing here, Matthew, and there really isn't a fantasy football tie into this, and let me just be the first person to admit, I'll grab this camera right here. I pick low-hanging fruit from time to time. I think it's symptomatic of Twitter, and I think sometimes you just can't resist the urge. But last night, Nathan Peterman was waived by the Bills. It'll become official today at 4 p.m., and I wanted to resist the urge to pick the low-hanging fruit because, plus, it was like it's all gone now. It's all been picked off of Twitter. And that's not to take, you know, like we, again, I'm guilty of it from time to time. But a part of me does have some sympathy for Nathan Peterman. Not that he's not well compensated, not that he didn't get to live his dream of playing in the NFL, and maybe he finds a spot in a practice squad or elsewhere. But, you know, like, the kid took a lot of flack.
You know, 100% field, and so it's World Kindness Day, by the way, today, and so I mentioned this on Twitter. I feel bad for Nathan Peterman. I feel terrible for him, and it is easy, especially on social media, especially on Twitter, especially where you're anonymous, if you want to be, where it's easy just to be dismissive of somebody else and to make fun and, to your point, pick low-hanging fruit. And look, I'm not sitting here, I'm above reproach. There are tweets that I've sent that I regret. There are jokes that I've made that I
regret. It's just like, I tweeted about Hugh Jackson last night and like, I admit like it was a little bit of a pot shot, but it was also funny. And like Hugh Jackson has, didn't exactly inspire a lot of confidence during his time as the Browns head coach.
Listen, I mean, listen, my point is like, I've done that as well. So it's not like I'm above reproach or that I've never done, you know, taking a shot at somebody or something like that, and there's certainly been tweets that I regret. But I just saw so many people dumping on Nathan Peterman, and you think about Peterman, who has thrown 10 or more passes against three teams this year. Bears, Texans, Ravens. Okay? All of them top three against quarterbacks this year. Now, partially their stats inflated by the success they had against the Bills and Nathan Peterman.
Yep.
But like, that's a tough schedule. Like,
top 11, Matthew, not top three. Top
what did
11.
I say? I said top three. Yes, yep. top 11, 11 against quarterbacks, right? But those three teams, Bears, Texans, Ravens. Okay? And then you think about last year. Colts, Patriots, Chargers, Saints. The Saints had a very good defense last year. The Patriots, you know, got better as the year got on. The Chargers were a great defense. The Colts, okay, whatever. Didn't have a lot of talent around him. Don't think he had a particularly great offensive scheme. Feels like he was sort of thrown in there. Never got like full-time starter reps. It's not like he was the starter from the beginning of the year. He was a rookie last year, thrown into the fire. Yep. Like all of a sudden out of the blue, they're like, oh, we're going away from Tyrod. And so here's a guy that I believe was not put in a position to succeed. That he was sort of thrown into the fire into an organization that is certainly on some level dysfunctional. That has a lack of talent offensively around him. And so whatever you can sit here and say, look, I don't think he's an NFL quarterback, you know, that he's as a quality NFL quarterback. And I think this remains to be seen because we've seen like what's somebody's career if he goes there? What's Tom Brady's career if he doesn't wind up in New England? Sixth round pick out of Michigan. Like if he goes to Baltimore, if he goes to Buffalo.
People play this game with Carson Wentz when he got drafted by the Eagles opposed to the Browns, right? Like, would he have been as successful as he was?
Well, you never know.
You never know. I think he would be a really good quarterback still, but.
I agree. And same with Tom Brady, Bowl, right? But all I'm saying is that Nathan Peterman is a kid like anyone that like trained his entire life to get to the NFL. Like that is a dream that so many kids have and very few get to have. And so, even the worst player on the worst team in the NFL is a world-class athlete, is so good, you have no idea. And so Nathan Peterman, who was good in college, who a lot of people felt like the Bills got a steal when they drafted him. If you look at the draft grades right after that draft, people are like, oh, Nathan Peterman, that's interesting.
Right, fifth-round pick.
I saw like one Twitter handle that represents another fantasy site, and I'm not going to, you know, like, whatever. Again, I've tweeted stuff I regret as well. But, like, they tweeted something about Peterman. There's this, like, you know, live look at Peterman's career, and it was like a dump truck dumping, like, trash and, like, saying, oh, like, hey, here, or Nathan Peterman getting, live look at Nathan Peterman getting released. And, it was a dumpster, you know, dumping trash. And I'm like, you're calling a human being trash. Right. Like, and, like, because he didn't succeed in the NFL on a dysfunctional franchise, not put in a position to succeed. And, like, we'll see. His NFL career may be over. Maybe he gets another shot and maybe he winds up as a practice squad or a camp arm or something like that at some point. But I don't know, especially on World Kindness Day, like, this poor kid has been through so much and I think it's undeserved. I think using him as an example, like, we can all be kinder to each other online, in social media, in real life. And here's just an example of like the guy lost his job. Why are people celebrating somebody losing his job? And I don't know. It really bothered me the wrong way last night. Really rubbed me the wrong way.
Preach on everything you just said. Before we take a break, I know Daniel has a quick question.
I do. I have a quick question based on the news that we have field. Okay. I know 4 p.m. today is the last time that Le'Veon Bell can join the Steelers.
Yep.
Correct. If after 4 p.m. he has not signed his franchise tag, is he just flat out droppable, or is there any way that, like, if the Steelers cut him, he could then sign with another team later this year?
He's not under contract. Can't cut him.
So they can't cut him. There's nothing. So he is officially droppable at 4 p.m. if he does not sign. There's no way, shape, or form that he could find himself on another franchise.
The only way, if I'm not mistaken, would be if the Steelers rescinded the franchise tag. There is literally zero upside to rescinding the franchise tag. You would just make an excellent player available to go sign with somebody else for as much or as little money as you want. You could just hand Le'Veon Bell to the Chiefs and say play for a minimum if you wanted, or he could go to whoever has a ton of cap space, that would, you know, the Jets, and pay him $75 million. At 4 p.m., you can safely, comfortably say goodbye to Le'Veon Bell in redraft leagues, and we can put an end to this, and we can start, again, lauding the compliments of what James Conner has done. He has been unbelievable this season.
That's going to be one of the most fascinating storylines in the offseason, and none of us expect Le'Veon Bell to sign by 4 p.m.
This is not my prediction, and this is a long way away. The Jets make the most sense to me. The Jet, that's my team that, like, you do all the dot connecting right now, makes the most sense for Le'Veon Bell.
Interesting.
Quick break. We'll be right back.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus. Fantasy Focus.
All right, guys, and now it's time for a quick message from the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week.
Hey, this is Jen, the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week, and if you guys are in the DC area, you've got an open invite to my fifth grade classroom where my students and I would love to help you out with your math skills and with reading maps, specifically from Farmington to Bristol. Now, back to the show.
I could use a lot of help in both of those regards.
Right. Yeah. No, I like that. It would be nice for you. Like, I wonder if your current fifth grade teacher would allow you to transfer to hers.
Yeah. Well, is there, like, do you have to sit out 1 year if you transfer from fifth grade
that's
to fifth grade?
It's a good question. We should figure that out.
I think it's one recess period is what it is.
One recess period sat out. Yeah, one less nap per week for, I guess, do you take naps in fifth grade still?
I don't think so. That's sort of a weird fifth grade thing.
I assume all kids take
Nantucket's
naps.
A totally different world, apparently, taking naps in fifth grade.
This is a reflection of my beloved nephew, Asher, who is the world's best napper. The kid just crushes naps every day. 2.5 years old. What else are you going to do? Exactly. Let's get to the waiver wire, and I'll let Matthew take the reins here after I just mentioned that, you know, each week we read them by position, and just because we're listing players first, it doesn't mean that we have a strong endorsement behind adding them on the waiver wire this week. So, Matthew, I'm going to note that Tom Brady and Baker Mayfield are on buys this week, and I'll just start right there and say, hey, listen, Dak Prescott over the last four games, 21.6 fantasy points per game.
Yep.
He has a rushing touchdown in three of his past four games.
Yes, he does.
Prior to that, he had zero rushing touchdowns. Prior to those, to that four-game stretch, or this four-game stretch, he was averaging 12.5 fantasy points per game. They now play the Falcons. This is amazing to me. Except for Nick Foles in week one. So every week since, the Falcons have allowed at least 300 passing yards or three touchdowns to a quarterback, and in some cases, both.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so, like, there have been guys that have done both. Dak is perhaps the least refined thrower they'll face during their schedule this year.
Yeah.
But it's such a bad defense.
It's a brutal defense. And honestly, the Falcons, again, this game is in Atlanta, so we expect the Falcons to be able to put up some points on Dallas. So I think this could be, there's a little bit of shootout appeal here as well. And just to your point about Dak Prescott, so at Atlanta this week, Fields, but then home to Washington, home to the Saints, home to Philadelphia, three straight home games at Indy in week 15, Week 16, the championship game in many leagues, home to Tampa Bay. And then if you play in an ESPN Standard League, which goes to week 17, at the Giants.
Yep,
so it is a really favorable schedule coming up here for Dak Prescott here. Each of the next six games indoors or a retractable roof as well. So going to be good conditions. To your point, he started rushing more. I think having Amari Cooper just stretching the field opens things up for that entire, not only does it another, a talented pass catcher for Dak, but also just opens up the field, allows more running lanes for Ezekiel Elliott, helps set up, play action better, helps, you know, running lanes for Dak. So I think he is not only a very viable streamer this week, but I think he's a viable kind of top 12 guy the rest of the year.
You know, I mentioned this point yesterday on the show that after next week, bye weeks are no longer a thing. So in essence, I don't say that you have more bench spots available, but practically speaking, you do, because you're not holding that player that you need to replace your wide receiver with in week 10 or whatever. So you can maybe afford to roster a second quarterback, and that could be a good matchup dependent player.
Speaking of rostering a second quarterback, Field, over the bye, we got some news out of Baltimore.
Yeah, that Joe Flacco might miss week 11 and maybe more because of a hip issue. Now, John Harbaugh yesterday downplayed it and basically said, I like the fact that there's some mystery surrounding Joe Flacco's availability for Sunday, because that makes it more difficult for the Bengals to prepare. He also said that Joe Flacco does not need to practice to play. So there are a lot of factors that could contribute to Lamar Jackson's viability as a fantasy asset, but it's at least possible he could be starting on Sunday. Lamar Jackson, I think, has a lot of room to go as a thrower. There's not a lot of mystery there. But as a runner, if Lamar Jackson steps on the field on Sunday, I don't think it's, I mean, it might be close, but I don't think there's any question that he's the best athlete at quarterback in the NFL right now. Now, Cam is a unique beast, but like, and it sounds weird to say that someone is more dynamic than Cam at the quarterback position, But just go watch Louisville tape from last year. Lamar Jackson is a...
He's a video game.
He's a video game, exactly. Let's just say he got you, like, would 60 rushing yards and a touchdown in a game ever surprise you from Lamar Jackson?
Absolutely not.
So if he gets you 60 plus a touchdown and 100 yards passing, that right there is what, like 16 fantasy points right away?
16 points. So, I mean, like, if he did, like, what I was going to say is I would project him, and it's interesting as you see it. If, for those of you watching on Twitter, you see it on your screen here, projected for 18.1 fantasy points if he were to start. He's playing a Bengals defense.
It's terrible.
That's not only, they just fired his defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean,
crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Lost in the hoopla around Hugh Jackson returning to Cincinnati
anybody made the joke yet that Hugh is sort of the assistant to the regional manager?
Yeah.
You see that this morning?
Right.
I love about Twitter is that Hugh Jackson named special assistant to the head coach, and my timeline just became about 30 people saying, like, assistant to the regional manager.
Right.
Of course, a great office reference right there. But yeah, I mean, the Bengals are decimated defensively.
So it's a team that just gave up a 50 burger to the Saints. And so there are, you know, so you think about, like, if I projected this for Lamar Jackson, you put it out there, but I was just saying, like, 150 yards, a touchdown, maybe an interception or two.
Yep.
Call up, say 150 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception, 60 yards rushing, and a touchdown.
That'll get you 20 points right there.
I mean,
that's pretty good.
Carson Wentz had 21 points last week.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's what you're talking about. But anyway, 18 points, 20 points. Like, you think about Tim Tebow as a quarterback. You think about Terrell Pryor as a quarterback. Neither of them particularly good passers. Neither of them lasted long in the NFL as starting NFL quarterbacks. Both of them very viable, productive fantasy quarterbacks because of what they do with their legs.
I completely agree on that. I called him the wild card ad of the week. You'd have to have a really healthy roster construction to acquire Lamar Jackson this week, especially because we may not know until Sunday morning.
And there were some rumors that maybe it's RG3. People forget RG3's on that roster as well. My expectation would be is that it'd be Lamar Jackson if Joe Flacco can't go.
I think so too.
But there is that sort of possibility out there as well. You know, think about Tyrod Taylor, who coming into the season had been a top 12 fantasy quarterback over the last 3 years in Buffalo, but entirely because of his legs. Like, that's just, it's what rushing quarterbacks can do. Let's head to running back now.
Before we do that, though, Daniel's going to tell us a little something about Subaru.
Oh, okay, sure.
You bet he is. During the Subaru Share the Love event, Subaru and its retailers have shown just how far the love can go. Over 100 national parks supported through the National Park Foundation, more than 50,000 animals rescued through the ASPCA, nearly 2 million meals delivered through Meals on Wheels, more than 1,800 wishes granted through Make-A-Wish, more than 1,170 hometown charities have been supported, and that's $140 million donated charity by Subaru and its retailers over 11 years. Right now, when you get a new Subaru during the Subaru Share the Love event, Subaru will donate $250 to the charity of your choice. When we share the love, we all win. The Subaru Share the Love event now through January 2nd. And Field and Matthew exploring the waiver wire is brought to you by Subaru. And Matthew, where do we want to start with this? Mike Davis?
I guess so. I mean, so let's talk about running backs now. You've got Sony Michel and James White.
Yep.
Nick Chubb, Duke Johnson on a bye.
Yeah.
Kenyon Drake actually on a bye, not just in the box score.
Right.
Same with Isaiah Crowell.
So you did that.
Yep, there you go. Let's see. Here I am on National Kindness Day taking a shot at Kenyon Drake. It's not Kenyon Drake's fault, America. It's not Kenyon Drake's fault. It is the play calling. Free Kenyon Drake. Anyway, Isaiah Crowell. So a lot of big name running backs on a bye. Field. And so let's talk about some of these running backs that are available more than 50% of ESPN leagues. And I think first you sort of turn your eyes to Seattle.
Yeah. And this is, by the way, when you're acquiring a running back this week, it's sort of like pick your flavor, right?
Yeah.
Because I can give you a high floor player, but let's get to the player that I think, if he gets one more start, has the best chance of 20 points. And that's Mike Davis.
Yeah.
Now, Pete Carroll said on Monday that he thinks Chris Harsin's going to be good to go on Thursday. The good news is that you're not going to have to make a decision where your lineup has already been impacted. At 7 o'clock or 6:50 on Thursday night, you will know whether Chris Carson is playing or not. If he is playing, then I have my reservations about Mike Davis. But if Chris Carson sits on Thursday night, Mike Davis probably slots in as a top 15 running back play. Maybe top 20 because we did see something from Rashad Penny. We saw a lot from Rashad Penny this past week.
Correct.
I also think that Mike Davis is a really smart ad for insurance because Chris Carson
can't stay healthy.
He came back into the game not this past week, but the week before. So week 9, played up until halftime and then went out again. So I think what's really smart to do here is add Mike Davis as a possible starter this week, but keep him as a possible replacement for Chris Carson going forward because we know that, you know, everybody's hurt right now, but if you're already, like, legitimately hurt, like, the chances of recurrence, to me, feel greater. I don't want to overlook his teammate, though, Rashad Penny. I don't know, Matthew. Like, I don't know what's going to happen here. He's a first-round pick. He ran really well. It's possible that Seattle says, like, I'm in. I want to get him more involved. We want to get him more involved going forward. But it's impossible for me to forecast how they're going to play their cards, specifically this week when they're on a – they have 100 hours between games. Like, I don't know how much you can change in 100 hours.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's interesting. So you talk to some of the former coaches that work here.
Yeah.
You know, and so and it's just like when you're on a short week like this, you can't do much. You're trying to get healthy. You're basically using the same game plan as the week before. Maybe you put a wrinkle here or there, adjust something, but there's not much you can put in those 3 days. To your point, you're just trying to like just sort of heal up and get ready to go again. Pete Carroll is an interesting cat. Not particularly predictable. I mean, we think about Mike Davis bursting on the scene. The first game that Carson of the season was out.
Yep.
Fields, everyone was like, well, it's going to be Rashad Penny because up till that point, the only other running back that gotten any kind of sort of run was Rashad Penny. I mean, it had been Rashad Penny. And then all of a sudden Mike Davis comes out of nowhere with like whatever it was, 20 touches or something like that in that game. And they're like, we knew, you know, Davis was more of a veteran and we didn't want to put Penny in that situation and put that much on his back, as it were. So my feeling is this, I agree with you. I think if Chris Carson is ruled out by Thursday, I think it'd be a committee and I would have Davis ranked over Penny just because of, you know, that we've seen this more. But listen, it's one of the run heaviest teams in the NFL, right? I mean, no other team. They're at 48%. I think the next highest is at 44% in terms of rush percentage. So they're rushing, you know, over 30 times a game. So, and some of that's Russell Wilson. But So there may be enough work to go around in a decent matchup with the Packers run defense. It doesn't particularly scare you.
The weird part is this. I think of it this way, is that if all three running backs are playing,
Carson would be the only one I'd start.
But
you?
Yes, I agree on that. But which one is most likely to become irrelevant? And as much as Rashad Penny was awesome this past week, he's a first-round pick, we have more evidence of Mike Davis as a pass catcher. So I'm like, hey, if all three of them play, I'm going to have one ranked like around 20. I'm going to have one ranked around like 35. And I'll have one ranked as like a 45th running back.
Yep.
I think that Mike Davis would be the one that would be at 35 for the passing game upside.
So I would agree with that.
It's a weird situation to dissect. So let's move on from that one to Denver, where Matthew, sometimes waiver wire ads are more a byproduct of, you know, players go on by, they miss a couple of games because of injury, and their roster percentage drops way low. Royce Freeman's at 49.8%. I don't need to dig too deep in to tell you what value he has. He's the backup running back in Denver. He gets a lot of goal line work, and he should be healthy, and they now have 7 straight weeks of play. They have no bye.
Correct.
So that's the easy case for Royce Freeman there.
Yeah, look, he hasn't been particularly good. He hasn't been bad this year, but he hasn't been as good as Philip Lindsay. Now, I will be honest. I think I have a lot of issues with Denver's play calling.
Sure.
And I think they're more creative when, and I don't know whether it's a cart before the horse sort of thing. Like, when Royce Freeman comes in, I saw some stat and I don't have it off the top of my head, but like he's one of the league leaders in terms of 8-man fronts that he's faced. And, you know, is that because the play calling just hasn't been nearly as creative when they put in Royce Freeman versus Philip Lindsay? Or is it when they see Royce Freeman, when they see he can't catch the ball? So when Royce Freeman's in there, like, he's probably running it. And that's the scheme they call. So it's a little chicken or the egg, hard to know. But I think that's one of the reasons why Lindsay has been more effective is the play calling has been more creative with Lindsay in there, more diverse than it is with Freeman, who seems to really just be, hey, this one's off tackle right or this one's off tackle left.
Yep.
All that said, at the Chargers, and you can somewhat run on the Chargers. I mean, you know, they have a great secondary, but look, I thought Doug Martin ran well last week against the Chargers as well, and so the Broncos off a bye. If you start Royce Freeman, you're hoping he falls in the end zone.
That's exactly what it would be.
It's kind of, he's a slightly higher end Isaiah Crowell.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Slightly.
Right, yeah, because the Jets are so pitiful, right? And they're on a bye right now
right.
as well.
Yeah.
Jalen Richard, quickly here. You looking for a guy that's going to get you 10 points a game? That's Jalen Richard. Both him and Freeman are 0.2% away from not qualifying for the waiver wire column. Let's get to the wide receivers, because there's a bit more intrigue there. Players on a bye this week include Jarvis Landry, Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, and three tight ends, and David Njoku, Rob Gronkowski, and George Kittle. I'm going to start with John Ross. And John Ross, to me, feels like the player that the minute you start to come around on trusting him, all of a sudden he might let you down a little bit, because he has been that so far in his career. He's got 8 catches. The 9th overall pick in the draft in 2017 has 8 catches. Remember last year, he infamously had more fumbles than he did catches. I think it was 1 fumble to 0 catches as a rookie. But he ran a route on 81.5% of the dropbacks in Week 10. We don't think A.J. Green's going to play until December. John Ross, I want to say, comes in around like 38 in my rankings for this week.
Okay.
Bad matchup against the Ravens.
Yep.
But someone's got to catch the football.
Someone does.
And John Ross does not need, he's DeSean Jackson. He needs 3 catches. He doesn't need 10. He needs 3.
Right.
So it's damning with faint praise, perhaps, and calling this a great, it's not a great waiver wire week. It just isn't. But John Ross, amongst the intriguing players for me this week.
There's some pedigree there, former first round pick.
Run. Yep.
And honestly, when you think about the Bengals, it's sort of similar to Tampa Bay. Their defense is so bad, Field. Like, in theory, they have to throw it. They're going to have to. Now, that didn't totally work against the Saints. Like, you know, in theory, like, the Bengals should have had big fantasy days, like in a game where they just got blown out by the Saints, and that didn't happen. I mean, Ross caught a touchdown, but it's not like Dalton lit it up or you know, Mixon or Boyd had big games, because they didn't.
Sure.
But in theory, yeah, if you're looking for a wide receiver, I think John Ross. I will tell you somebody I like more than John Ross. We talk about Ross being a rookie last year. How about a rookie this year? And that's Anthony Miller in Chicago.
Yeah, he's available in 87% of leagues. He's got 6 targets in 4 straight games for the Bears. And I think Mike delved into the stats in terms of routes run. And this is an offense that has 6 straight games of 3 offensive touchdowns.
Yeah.
So we need to start considering it as one of the best offenses in football. Miller may not be a player that's a weekly starter in a 10-team league, but I think in a 12-team league, especially one that plays 3 wide receivers, which is a fairly common format, Miller should definitely be on your roster. You know, I tell you he's a great dynasty stash, but I think most people that play in dynasty or keeper leagues have been
well aware
of Anthony Miller.
Look, run 70% of his snaps out of the slot. You think about the Vikings, who struggle against the slot so far this year. That's who the Bears play. I put this out on Twitter yesterday, but since week 5, on a points per game basis, Mitchell Trubisky is the number 1 quarterback in fantasy. Remember, in week 4, that's when he threw the 6 touchdown passes. So even if you say, like, I forget the 6 touchdown game, that's such an outlier, obviously.
He's still number 1.
From week 5 on,
wow.
Number 1 in a points per game basis, Mitchell Trubisky. And so they're spreading it around here. Just a quick anecdote. I interviewed, and I wrote about this. You know, every year I get to, I'm very blessed and lucky, I get to go to the NFLPA Rookie premiere.
Yeah.
So the Players Association, always so good to me, and they're just great friends. And so they invited me out there to interview all the rookies. And so Anthony Miller is one of the guys I wrote about. And so, you know, I wrote a column for ESPN about, you know, sort of the nuggets that I picked up, or, you know, impressions from the rookie premiere. And Anthony Miller, so one of the things I did to them, it was all on cameras. I said to Anthony Miller, I gave him his ESPN projection.
Right.
He was listening to it. And I said, and we've got you projected for 4 touchdowns. He's just like, 4 touchdowns? He's just like, that seems low. And I'm like, really? He goes, 4 touchdowns, that's like 2 games in college.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll give me 8. And so I just thought, and by the way,
yeah,
and like,
right now?
It wasn't said cocky. It wasn't said boastful. It was said matter of fact. Like, I'm going to score 8.
Yep.
4, only 4. Like, and it just like, there was just a quiet confidence to him, Field, that I was just so impressed with. You know, I've interviewed over 80 rookies over the last 2 years, and so you get a sense of them.
Yep.
And boy, I liked Anthony Miller just as a person, just talking to him, and just struck me as like just an impressive kid.
How about this? Anthony Miller has 4 touchdowns through 9 games. Here's how it goes. He goes No, he goes back and forth.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
touchdown, touchdown. No touchdown, touchdown. Right. Literally every other game he scored a touchdown.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. I've seen that, yeah.
So we scored a touchdown last week, which I bet he bucks the try and scores another one this week. Quickly to put a couple more pass catchers on the radar, Willie Snead for the Ravens, his roster percentage did not adjust at all this past week because they were on a bye, but their schedule is the ultimate schedule going forward. Whether it's Lamar Jackson or Joe Flacco or I guess RG3, Ravens play five games against a bottom six pass defense this season. He's got double digit scoring in all but two games. Not a sexy waiver ad. He's got just one touchdown all year, but you play in a deeper league. Heck, you're playing in a league, a 10-team league. You just need 10 points from your bye to fill in for the week. Willie Snead should be on your radar. And the last one here before we get to a few Twitter questions is Josh Reynolds for the Rams, who Cooper Kupp officially going to IR because of that ACL tear. Reynolds figures to be the next man up in that offense. Deeper league consideration. I think there's going to be some weeks where he gets you 10 to 15 points, and there's going to be some weeks where he gets you between 3 and 5 points because Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, Todd Gurley are just that good.
Yep.
All right, so we got a couple of questions from Twitter before we say goodbye on today's show. Keith, I think you are, as always, MC of such matters.
Correct. We got one from Joseph Sarney. He says he was offered Nick Chubb and A.J. Green for Devontae Adams and Austin Eckler. He says, I'm thin at running back and have Thielen as my number one. Should he do it?
Nick Chubb and A.J. Green.
Yeah, Keith picked a bronze question. Interesting.
Yeah, Devontae Adams. I look at it more like this. I look at it more as you're getting Nick Chubb and A.J. Green for Devontae Adams, because Austin Eckler, as we said yesterday, is
whatever.
He's a handcuff to Melvin Gordon.
He's a handcuff to Melvin Gordon. That's his only value. So Nick Chubb and A.J. Green for Devontae Adams? Yeah, I do that deal.
I do that deal.
I mean, look, we don't know what you're going to get out of A.J. Green. You know, Adam Schefter reported now expected to be out until December. And candidly, if the Bengals fall out of it, does he not, you know, they may not rush him back, franchise player over the age of 30 in a lost season. Like, so,
weirdly, the Bengals, they still have the number two wild card spot right now.
I understand, they're
weirdly in it. They may need A.J. Green. Yeah.
No, I understand, but I'm just saying if they lose to Baltimore this week, they could lose a couple, and by the time A.J. Green is ready to come back, if they've fallen out of the playoff picture, then you maybe say, you know, hey, why don't you just take the rest of the season off? But even if it's just Nick Chubb for Devontae Adams, I actually think that's a fair deal, given how good Chubb is. Think about their schedule and just the dearth of running backs.
I don't think it's that bad of a trade if it's just Nick Chubb or Devontae Adams. It's not one I would make, but I think it's defensible. You get the possibility of maybe
and then,
three games of A.J. Green.
Yeah,
I like don't it. Know who the rest of his receivers are either.
Yeah, I like it, though.
Thielen,
so I'm okay with it.
Okay. Yeah. Anthony Guarino wants to know, he says, am I crazy for considering Trubisky over Rodgers this week? He says, Rodgers is traveling to a pretty good Seattle defense on a short week, and Trubisky has been hot over the past 6 weeks.
No.
No, you're not crazy. I mean, look, we just said it. Since week five on a points per game basis, Mitch Trubisky is the number one quarterback in fantasy. So,
the best team that's playing this week in terms of limiting opposing quarterbacks is the Seattle Seahawks. The only team that's been better, believe it or not, is the Bills.
Right.
The Bills, who are the number one ranked defense this year, like total defense, which is yards allowed per game, number one this season are the Bills and number one against opposing quarterbacks.
So you're saying week 11, 2018 is that moment where Tom Brady is droppable for a bye week replacement and you can start Mitchell Trubisky over Aaron Rodgers.
Weird world we live in,
Daniel. We've reached that spot.
It is a weird world.
Weird world. Welcome to fantasy football.
One last quick one here. Ray wants to know if he should trade Brady and Galladay for Cam Newton.
Yeah, I would.
I would too, yeah.
In a heartbeat, actually.
I'm assuming you have a pretty good, you're probably in a pretty good spot, I would imagine, in terms of, wide receiver depth, if you're willing to make that deal, but I'd do it, yeah.
I mean, first off, I mean, we'll see with Galladay, but look at the Panthers' upcoming
schedule. Cam
They're at Detroit this week,
right now.
Home to Seattle,
yep.
Maybe a little bit tough, but then at Tampa Bay in week 13, week 14 at Cleveland, week 15 home to New Orleans, you figure that's a shootout, week 16 home to Atlanta,
I know.
Week 17 at New Orleans again, so it's just a ridiculous schedule. The Patriots do not have a good schedule at all coming up, actually.
Yep.
If you look at this, and so the Patriots have a brutal schedule coming up. I mean, they come out of their bye after this one and they play the Jets, so you like that. But week 13 home to Minnesota, week 14 at Miami. Brady has struggled at Miami. I mean, comparatively so.
Yep.
in his career. Then week 15 at Pittsburgh, week 16 home to Buffalo. Like, it's not a great schedule. And Brady, as we've talked about, hasn't been Brady from a fantasy perspective. He's barely a top 12 fantasy quarterback.
Yep.
And so then who was it? It was Brady and who else?
Galladay.
Galladay. I mean, Galladay's been inconsistent. I like that there. But to me, the upside between Cam and Brady is just absolutely ridiculous here. Want to just mention as we get a question about sort of playoff, you know, hey, do I trade this guy, playoff schedule, that kind of stuff. Casey Joyner has a column out today. Is that right? Not cool, Keith?
Yeah, it's coming out this afternoon.
So
playoff schedules.
Right. Yep. So the football scientist, our friend Casey Joyner, always does a great job. So it's an ESPN Plus article, so you'd have to be a subscriber.
That's correct.
But it's just about really breaking down the playoffs in terms of players to trade for, trade away, just great stuff. You know, Casey has his own analytics and statistics as well. His blocking metrics are off the chart. So anyway, check that out if you get a chance. Casey Joyner's playoff. What's it called exactly?
Well, it's going to be it basically gives you the players who are the best from weeks 14 through 16 for those whose playoffs go for those 3 weeks, and also for 14 through 17 separately. So that way there's one column for each, essentially, depending on your league.
Okay, there you go. And what's the title of the column?
I'm not sure what the title will be.
Right, we'll figure it out. Just search for Casey Joyner. Come to ESPN.com, ESPN Plus.
Schedule in it.
Yeah. So look for Casey Joyner playoff schedule, and you'll find it there. So good stuff from Casey. Looking forward to diving into that.
All right, guys. So as always, we are back on Wednesday. It'll be myself and I think Mike Clay on the show tomorrow. Yeah. In the meantime, this is a lot of fun. Let's do it again sometime. I don't know how that's going to actually come together, but we should do it again sometime.
We should. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Stefan, you can take Mike Clay on a boondoggle and then it's, just us. Maybe Mike Clay suffers a bowling injury tonight. It's a splinter.
Big bowling game tonight, taking on the geriatrics, taking on Keith's team. Pins Above Replacement is. So
Daniel's up
behind
Mike
glass.
Clay.
They're on Pins Above Replacements.
And Thirsty Kyle.
And DJ from the fantasy show.
Yep.
Against the Geriatrics. Which, Keith, you're not old, man. You can't be calling yourself the Geriatrics.
That's my team name for about 16 years now.
Wow.
So at the time that it was instituted, it was ironic. Now it's still not accurate.
Now it's accurate.
That, actually, it was the reason why it goes back to basketball. We were the second oldest team pretty much even back when I was 29.
How about that?
Because it was a young league back then.
Yeah, all those young kids. They
young man's game, right?
Exactly. They don't have to go home to their wives and kids. They just thing go hoop it up. There you go. Hey, go to ESPNFantasyShop.com to get some great gear. If you want some 06010 swag, if you want some ESPN Fantasy swag, if you, cups and tumblers and T-shirts and sweatshirts and, listen, they got cornhole boards games. I mean, it's unbelievable, all the stuff there. So go to ESPNFantasyShop.com to check it out. And there's a promo code there that'll get you some money off. So if you just check it out at the very top. But you have to go there first to check it out. ESPNFantasyShop.com.
Closing it out, 35% of our Twitter audience thinks hips do lie.
Ah! They're all morons. Oh, morons. National kind of say. Sorry.
It's national kind of say. They're all incorrect.
You know,
yes.
Every day we encourage you to follow us on social media. Matthew Berry, TMR. I'm Matt Field. T, of course, is Matthew Berry, just Matthew Berry on the Fantasy Life. But the reason why you should is today is emblematic of it. The dynamic that we get to, the only time Matthew and I get to hang out together by ourselves is on social media. When we
this
go back
correct.
And forth on Twitter or Instagram comments. So if you want this kind of fun, if you enjoy today's podcast, and we love all of our members, but if you enjoy today's podcast and today's dynamic, follow us on social mediums because that's where we get to have this fun on a daily basis. At Field Yates, at Matthew Barrett, TMR. I'll probably make a joke about how he's old. He'll probably make a joke about how I have, I can't
grow
a beard. Yeah, I'm young.
Yeah, you're young.
Yeah. Anyways, we're back on Wednesday. Talk to you tomorrow.
Peace out!
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Barrett, TMR.
Go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make
it
happen.
Mediocre.